Take your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." I think each one of us could at least be able to memorize this portion of Scripture before you left here this evening and should be able to at least retain something from the message. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, as you look at this verse, you may wonder, okay, how much does this actually apply to my life? Well, one question is, how much do you need mercy demonstrated in your life? It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Allowing mercy... Mercy is not just something that you can say, all right, here's a list of a do's and don'ts, and you're going to be a merciful person. All right, mercy, being merciful as God would want us to be merciful, is something that must be shaped. It's action that must be shaped, so to speak, by an inward nature or character that has been changed. The Pharisees of Christ's day had a hard time with mercy. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 12, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read, I'm going to quickly go through verses 1 through 7. It says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if he had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, he would not have condemned the guiltless." The Pharisees had an outward conformity, but there was not an inward change. And really, they go back to the Israelites, the reprobates in the Old Testament, who would maybe sacrifice, maybe do certain outward acts, but there was not a true inward change that had taken place. And Christ says, if ye had understood this, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. The Pharisees could not make proper spiritual decisions. There was something that was missing in their lives. Over in Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. Actually, I'd like to back up just a little bit in verse 9. It says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me, and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Notice the Pharisees' response. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Now notice Christ's response. "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Again, here we have a group of people that had an outward conformity to a set of rules, but there was not an inward change. And here they see Christ doing something that maybe to them was outside their set of rules. And they misunderstood it, and they missed out on what was spiritually happening. And if we go over to Hosea chapter 6, we find the quotation from the Old Testament that is being used. Hosea 6:6. Give you a chance there to find it. I probably won't wait for everyone to find it though. Hosea 6 verse 6 says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." So not just this outward conformity, so to speak, to these rules. And he says, verse 7, "But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness." All right, so here we have maybe even these priests, people that were doing outward spiritual religious acts, but they were what? They were lacking in what a priest should have been all about. A priest should have been someone caring for the needs of people, but they were people robbing from people. And the Pharisees had that, they didn't have that inward change in their nature. And if we're going to have the mercy that is going to be required, there has to be an inward change. There has to be, mercy is something that must flow from our character. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, what are we supposed to put on as the elect of God? We are to be putting on bowels of mercy. And where does mercy, who does mercy flow from? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Mercy is not something that's going to naturally flow from our flesh. Our flesh seeks revenge. Our flesh wants to get back at people. Our flesh does not want to show mercy. And so this is something that we need God's grace and strengthening in our lives to be able to flow from our beings. And that's something that the Pharisees did not have, was that change of natures where they could come to God for this supernatural strength. So it says, so we see where this mercy, the requirement really for this mercy. I'd like us to look at an example of mercy. We meant, obviously, God's a great example of mercy, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy," and then "for his," what? "Great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." There was nothing in us. What did we deserve? Well, we deserved the lake of fire. But it says, "For his great love, wherewith he loved us." What's that great love? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And God is the great example of mercy. He sought us out. In the Old Testament, we have an example of mercy in David. In second, I'd like us to go to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 26. It's kind of somewhat similar to Matthew chapter 5. We'll keep you active tonight, turning in your Bibles. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 26. It says, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright." Okay, notice what this psalm is flowing out of. verse 1. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." And part of this is, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful." Think of David and his relationship with Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 24 and 1 Samuel chapter 26, what happened? Here were two opportunities that David had to slay Saul. Did Saul deserve to be slain by David? I mean, in our eyes, yes, right? Here's Saul going after David, seeking to kill him. But yet, what did David do? He showed Saul mercy, didn't he? And he spared his life. And David says, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful." And we find David, obviously later on in his life, what did he deserve? And we find David receiving mercy in his life. You know, one thing that all of us must go through life recognizing is our great need of mercy. We are in great need of mercy. And if we would keep that in the forefront of our thinking, it would keep us from so many wrong reactions to people in our lives. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. We see another example of this, and really how mercy is also shown, a demonstration of mercy is shown in forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, in verse number 23, here is a man that owed someone else a great debt. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But this same man went out, and what did he do? He did not show mercy. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And even in this passage, I'm trying to remember which word here, verse 33, "Shouldest now not thou also have had compassion?" I believe it's also the idea here of mercy on thy fellow servant. You know what? And then what took place? "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." And what took place? Well, his mercy was what? Taken away. So we see mercy demonstrated in forgiveness. And then we see a man who didn't, and that what? That mercy was taken away. Do we show mercy in forgiveness? You say, well, look what that person did to me. Well, we must remember the great debt that was what? Paid on our behalf. And so the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. We have all the reason in the world to be merciful to others, seeing the great mercy that has been shown to us. So here's an example. Here's just a practical demonstration of how we can show mercy, forgiveness. The Bible says, blessed, truly happy are the merciful. Do you show forgiveness? That is a way that you can practically demonstrate mercy in your life. How about when somebody comes to you? Obviously, there's wisdom involved in as well, but in Psalm chapter number 37 in verse 26, it says, He says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. He's one of pity, and lendeth, and his seed is what? Is blessed. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful. Here he is merciful, and he what? He lends. All right? You know what? Mercy requires selflessness. You know, sometimes it's like, boy, I really don't. And obviously there's wisdom and there's proverbs and all those things that you know, need to be factored into decisions. But are we stingy? We don't want to give. You know, somebody has a need and we're not willing to maybe even, you know, lend them money. And so here's an issue. Proverbs, notice what in conjunction with this verse, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 17. It says, he that hath pity upon the poor, what? Lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Psalm number 41 in verse 4, we have the psalmist crying out to God to show him mercy. It says here in verse number 4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Here we have merciful being tied to what? The aspect of healing my soul. You know, when we've sinned, we need what? We need spiritual restoration, don't we? We need spiritual healing to take place. Do we show mercy by seeking to see others healed? You know, someone has a spiritual problem. I'll let them, they got themselves into that mess. They can figure out a way to get out. Or do we seek to show them mercy? Seek to help them get out of that spiritual mess, so to speak, that they have gotten themselves into. He says, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. You know, Galatians chapter 6 in verses 1 and 2 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. One practical way we can demonstrate mercy is by seeking to help others, people's souls, to be healed. It can be Christians that are struggling. It can be unsaved souls that need to be shown God's mercy. Are we willing to step out and to seek to see them one to Christ? In Psalm chapter 103 and verse 8, we see another practical demonstration of mercy. Notice in verse Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. What does it say? Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. You know, one way we can practically demonstrate mercy in our lives is what? Being slow to anger. A practical demonstration of mercy. In Psalm number 57, we see mercy practically demonstrated in addressing the needs of those around us. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. The King James Defined Bible, calamities, deep troubles, miseries, disasters. Mercy addressing the needs of those around us. Here the psalmist is going to God, Lord, be merciful unto me. I need your help. I'm in the mix of these situations. Lord, help me. Do we demonstrate mercy by addressing the needs of others? Or are we like Job's friends who only add misery and heap up misery upon misery? Job said to his friends in Job 6 and verse 14, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. In Job chapter 16 and verse number 5, he says, verses 4 and 5, I also could speak as ye do if your soul were in my stead, soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Do we see the needs of those around us? And do we seek to be merciful to them and aid them and help them and bring them out of the situations that they are in? Or are we more like Job's friends and make the situation worse instead of making it better? You know, sometimes in showing mercy, we can wonder, maybe in dealing specifically in situations where someone has done wrong, or maybe somebody has, somebody in your family has wrecked something. And obviously they need to learn responsibility. You know, and where's that balance with mercy? Well, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have what? Shall have mercy. And where there is a confession and a forsaking of sin, there is what? There is mercy to be found. And I think that can also be an example with us in showing mercy. You know, is there a confession? Is there a forsaking? And obviously there's other principles that need to be applied in the situations. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6, I'll turn there quickly and read it for you. The Word of God states, verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing what? Mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You know, God's mercy is upon them that what? That fear him. And so there is an attitude, so to speak, of those that are on the receiving end of mercy. Mercy is much easier to be shown when what? There is a, not that belligerence. You know, and we would be wise as believers to recognize, you know, as we have that humility before God, as we seek to love him and obey him, as we seek to fear him, there's what? There is that. It says here, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. You know, the fact is that every one of us has messed up in our parenting. There is not a perfect parent. You know, and if the outcome of our homes was judged upon every situation that we ever messed up, all of us would be what? Failures as parents, wouldn't we? And we ultimately need God's mercy in the raising of our children. And he says, showing mercy. But when God sees that, he says, of them that love me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Mercy is something that we need in our lives. And the time is passed here. But Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 17, I'd like us to look at this verse here. It says, verse 17, it says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, says, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. You know, tonight, in your dealings with others, are you a merciful person? Or are your actions characterized the opposite here by cruelty? That says the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Is that mercy that has been freely given to us, if you are a believer tonight, does it come out in your life? Is it exemplified in your forgiveness? Is it exemplified in your actions? Is it exemplified in your willingness to help others and to seek them restored to spiritual vitality, or in your seeking to bring lost souls to Christ? Is it exemplified in your temperament? Is it exemplified in your willingness to meet the needs of others, even when that is a monetary need? May our lives be characterized by bowels of mercy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we are the recipients of a great gift of your mercy. Lord, we deserve to spend our eternity in the lake of fire for all eternity. Lord, yet you have been merciful to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in our dealings with others, not to be like the one that was forgiven such a great debt, but yet exacted everything upon everyone else. Lord, may you speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, and help us to see the areas that we have been displeasing to you. Lord, and not showing the mercy that you have shown us. May we recognize tonight, Lord, that a blessed life, one that is truly happy, one that is lived in your favor, is a life that shows mercy. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.